once in a ville where the Baron had a nuke generator and he had a working vid machine. Konishiki came from the island of Hawaii, didn't he?
Yes. You saw him on a vid. Oh, how was he?
Magical. He had the grace of an eagle, the speed of a striking cobra, and the power of something immensely powerful.
I so envy you, dear lady.
He forgot himself so much that he actually clasped Mildred by the hands. Behind them, Yoshimoto entered the room with the shogun. As soon as he was aware of their presence, Hideyoshi was overcome with embarrassment and let go of Mildred's hands, as though they'd become red hot.
Where is the small one with poor sight, and the cripple with hair like snow and eyes like rubies?
That cripple could probably beat the best of your sumo wrestlers in a hand-to-hand, and they'll both be along soon.
That frail child beat Konishiki. Stupid guy, Jean. The age of miracles is long past. As easy for a mouse to defeat a lion.
Why are the ribbons different colors at the corner of the basho? Do I detect some sort of symbolism?
They are the pointed parts of the compass, and also the seasons of the year. Black is the north and winter. Red is summer and the south. Green is spring and the east, while the west is white and is the fall.
Christy started to walk down toward the basho arena, staring up at the fluttering ribbons. She was about to climb the shallow flight of steps that led onto the actual fighting surface.
No!
No what, Hideyoshi?
No, it is not allowed. The surface of the basho has been purified and sanctified by salt by the visiting priests. If a woman sets foot there, then it is defiled.
You think I might suddenly have my period all over the religious salt?
All three of the Japanese men took a step backward in perfect synchronicity.
That is not the way a guest talks.
I guess that's right. And I apologize for it, Shogun.
Apology accepted.
And I'll be very careful not to go and step all over your nice, clean basho.
Ryan and company had been given seats in the front row in places of honor, close to the Shogun and his aides. It was only when the fighting had begun that the seats of honor also became seats of danger. The sumo wrestlers were all enormously large people, almost like muties. The smallest was about 5 feet 10 inches tall and tipped the scales at just over 300 pounds. He was known by his fighting nickname, Little Tiger. But some of the bigger men at the basho dwarfed him. The legendary Konishiki was a good 6.5 feet tall and weighed 417 pounds. Each bout followed the same ritual. The two huge men, swaddled like hogs in diapers, waddled up onto the dais, bowing to the corners and scattering handfuls of salt on the surface of the basho. The wrestlers then squatted down on their own side of the roped arena.
Huh. Like linemen in football on old vids, before the snap.
After the match started, there were innumerable false starts, where one or the other would stand up and strut around, trying to psych out his opponent. Konishiki was particularly good at this aspect of sumo.
Yeah, wouldn't fancy meeting him in a dark, narrow alley.
Jack had been evaluating the bouts with a fighter's perspective.
Reckon good little one could still beat him. Wait against him.
You reckon?
Sure.
You like to try it?
Jack shrugged, his long white hair moving about his narrow skull like sea spray.
Wouldn't mind.
I'll see what I can do.
Ryan sat back, smiling to himself. It might be another blow in his feud against Yoshimoto, but the moment had to be right. Eventually, both wrestlers charged. The object of the match was to either throw your opponent from the basho over the layer of rope, or push or pull him out or throw him off his feet so that he fell in the middle of the basho. Generally speaking, the bouts were decided within about 10 seconds, more often than not by one of the fighters staggering out from the ring. That was when the honorable front row seats could become very dangerous, with several hundred pounds of out-of-control wrestler landing in your lap.
Move!
Konishiki was still walking arrogantly around the ring.
You are nearly caught there, Gaijin. Our men are too big and strong, and all you can do is try and skip from their path.
I got a man could beat that lump of overblown lard.
Yourself?
No, not me.
Me.
Jack shrugged off his jacket and pointed at the puzzled Konishiki.
I beat him.
You will die.
Phew, we all will, one day.
The owner of the traveling sumo circus heard the conversation and quickly walked up towards the guests and their hosts.
No, I will not have my most valued wrestler compete against someone so small. The Daijin will die, and he is guest of honored Shogun, Lord Masashiga. It will be a bad joke and cause loss of face to my fighters.
We set aside all responsibility. Jack will fight on your rules and terms. No weapons. Winner throws the loser out of the basho or topples him on his back. Is that it?
That is it.
Very well.
Konishiki strode down to confront Jack. The wrestler was wearing a flowing robe with foxes embroidered all over it in gold and silver threads. He pointed a strong, stubby finger at the young man.
You know, might die.
Sure, be a good clean fight. Best man win.
When Jack shook hands with Konishiki, his white fingers disappeared inside the ham-like hand of the sumo star. It proved impossible to find a sumo costume anywhere near small enough for Jack. One had to be improvised by the sewing women of the bill from a length of stout white linen. It was wrapped around Jack's waist and knotted in the approved manner.
Looks like a chicken against a rhinoceros. Not quite a balanced fight.
But who would you put your money on, Doc? My Jack goes on the chicken.
I rather think that I must perforce agree with you, ma'am.
Ryan stood near Jack outside the ring.
You better keep clear of him.
The youth grinned, his red eyes flashing with excitement.
Sure, sure. Don't worry, Ryan. Looking forward to it.
If it looks like he might be trying to crush you or do serious injury, then I'll...
Nah, no need. Just sit back and enjoy, Ryan.
Konishiki climbed back into the ring. The match was about ready to start. Jack climbed in after him. Ryan weighed up the protagonists, trying to figure whether he'd made a serious mistake in pitching Jack against the vast bulk of Konishiki. The sumo giant wasn't just fat. There was layer upon layer of hard muscle, and he had already shown evidence of his speed and agility in the earlier fights. Jack was as lean as whipcord, his body deathly white. His hair knotted back with a length of red ribbon that had come from Little Issy. The geisha was sitting in the third row, a handkerchief crumpled in her hand, held against her painted rosebud mouth, her whole body tense with worry for Jack.
Ladies and gentlemen, without further interruption, I present the Ganjin versus the mighty Konishiki!
Now Konishiki dropped into his three-point kneeling position, matched by Jack, whose eyes never left his gigantic opponent. Three times they did this, and twice the sumo wrestler broke and stood. The third time he dropped to kneeling position, he was not to be outfaced. Jack rose and copied him. The fourth time was for real. Konishiki was faster than any person that size had the right to be. He moved up and across the basho, which seemed to have shrunk to the size of a tablecloth. He grabbed at Jack to smother and destroy him. The big man was already grinning with anticipation of his easy victory. Only Jack wasn't there to be smothered and destroyed. He dove onto the floor, rolling to the side of the advancing Konishiki. He came up into a crouch as the wrestler started to turn to face him. Jack then hurled himself at the back of the man's huge legs. The wrestler's bulk and momentum carried him toward the raised rope that marked the edge of the arena. Yoshimoto was on his feet, his fingers digging into his cheeks as he saw the colossus stumble. Jack was up again, as nimble as a monkey, vaulting onto Konishiki's back, his hands covering the startled man's eyes, blinding the giant. The sumo star reached up to pluck him off and dash him to the floor, breaking every bone in the lad's body. But once again, Jack wasn't there. Instead, he was behind Konishiki, pushing him with his shoulder and the small of his back. Finally, Jack stooped to catch at Konishiki's left foot, heaving it off the ground for a vital couple of seconds. The monstrous figure swung a clubbing forearm to try to strike Jack to the sand. But he was too slow, too off balance. Pivoting on one leg, he reached the rope and caught his right foot on it. Jack let go of his other foot at the crucial moment, letting gravity do the rest. hopelessly out of control, Konishiki tumbled